The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Gonna have to call Taylor Hicks, ask him to re-sing it. Call Fitz. It's close. It's the Paul Feinbaum Show. I'm Jason Fitz, sitting in for Paul. 855-242-7285. I'll be in with you not just the rest of today, but also tomorrow, so we can continue to have some fun together. I know you guys want to chime in. Some of you have been waiting for a while. Got a thought, but before we get to any of it, let's get Mad Dog. I know, Mad Dog, you've been hanging on for a minute here. I appreciate it. Mad Dog, what do you got? Thanks for calling the show.
Yeah. Hey, how are you doing today, Jeff?
I'm doing great. How are you, brother?
I'm doing good. A couple things that a lot of folks either don't know or fail to mention. One of them is how many current SEC coaches actually have ever had a show calls, whether they coach at a former school or their current school. Do you know the answer to that?
No, I'd have to look it up. But I'm guessing you do.
Yeah, Jimbo Fisher in his first year at A&M had a show call.
Okay.
And that's a fact. That's not innuendo. That's a fact. And it was for recruiting violations. Imagine that. The thing, there are six kids that have been identified at A&M already that were part of the recruiting class, this past recruiting class, that are getting $5,000 per event. And each one of them is guaranteed at least once a month or twice a month. That will be coming out shortly. A lot of the shakeup. You know, it's funny, Jimbo telling everybody do their homework, do their research. Well, it sounds like he hadn't done his.
What rule was broken in that process?
Well, here's the thing. If you look at your Texas law legislature, you can see it talks about NIL. It specifically talks about high school kids that are lured or enticed, and that's where the fine line comes into play. You know, hey, you got to prove it. And I think that's the main gist of it. NIL is here to stay. It's not going away. It's going to get stronger and stronger. Yeah, there'll probably be some control factors come in much sooner than later at all this. But Saban calling out Jimbo, well, he has had a show calls for recruiting violations.
Yeah, but
not
stick
saying
with
Nick
me, man.
Saban
don't...
or nobody, no other coach, you know, has not had, you know, secondary violations, which seem to be a little bit common around college football, but it is funny. That's the whole spark of the argument.
Let me ask you a question though, Mad Dog. Even though he's had a show, that's fine. I'll acknowledge that. That's fine. What Saban said is that every player was bought, and there's just no proof of that at this point. And
here's the thing. He said every recruit, not every player on the team. That's a big difference. The recruiting class compared to every player on the team, that's two different contexts. So that's not what Saban said. He said, you know, every recruit that A&M brought in, that he is specifically talking about this recruiting class, not every player on Texas A&M's team.
Fair. I misspoke. That's fair. That's fair, Mad Dog. I misspoke that.
That A&M brought in, that he is.
But what proof do we have that every recruit brought in has been paid? And then above and beyond that, what Saban is saying is they bought every recruit. Well, A, that implies the school wrote the check, which they didn't do. B, all that's happened here is the collectives have done what collectives are allowed to do. Like Bryce Young signed $1 million in NIL deal before he played. Does that mean he was bought for Alabama? No, like that's the way these systems work. So what rule is being broken in any of that? Like, to your point, yes, the legislation says you can't entice a kid. Like, the school directly cannot entice a kid. What everybody's doing at this point is they're having these collectives, these booster groups, come together, raise money, and then go out and say, well, here's your opportunity. The fact that they're choosing to pay more for a radio appearance than anybody else, well, that's being documented all over the place right now, but that doesn't make any of it illegal. It doesn't even make it immoral. It just means they're reading the rules. They're within the rules, and they're not doing it the same way Alabama's doing it, but there's nothing illegal about that.
Am I back with you, Jason?
I got you, buddy.
All right, good deal. Yeah, and something else that has been very little has been talked about. The coaches all met. It was 4 to 6 weeks ago. one report, I think it was in Destin. Some said Orange Beach. It doesn't matter. I mean, Kirby Smart and Greg Sankey had heated words about NIL and the transfer portal, which is not something that you and I have just talked about. So, believe me, the other coaches in the league, they're seeing what's going on. Exactly. NIL is legal. However, as long as you don't break your state laws while doing so. The state laws are there for a reason. So as long as you're abiding by the state rules, it's 100% legal. You're right. But that's what's coming out, and that's part of where not only Nick Saban, but Lane Kiffin, your other coaches, they're bringing these things up to say, hey, as long as everybody's doing it legal by their state legislature and doing it, you're not breaking any federal laws, hey, no problem. But everybody wants to be on the same playing page. That's the whole rift of discussion. And obviously, you know, a lot of people know that Jimbo didn't leave Florida State on exactly good terms either. So, but
you're not wrong about
that. Yeah,
Mad Dog, thanks for the call.
I
appreciate you calling the show. You're not wrong about anything you're saying there. But where I'll look at it continually and say, like, frankly, I don't care what Jimbo did in the past because it was the wild, wild west. Like, that's a little bit like looking at somebody in today's world and saying, well, you have a marijuana conviction. Okay, if you have a marijuana conviction in a state where it's now legal, who cares? So if something was done, if there was a recruiting violation years ago at Florida State, the laws of recruiting have changed so much today versus what they were. I don't really care about what happened in the past. So now, in this new system that's been created, the question is, even if Saban comes out and says they bought every one of their recruits, okay, well, A, number one, prove that. Number two, prove where they did anything wrong in that process. If all they did was look at the rules and say, well, you know what, we're going to have this radio station pay $5,000 or $10,000 a hit versus $500 a hit. If that's within the letter of the law, if that's allowable, then who cares? Like, if they did it a different way than Alabama and it's giving them an advantage, who cares? And if they had to use all of this advantage and all this money to turn around and get these recruits, who cares? That's all within the letter of what's allowable. I mean, if we're going to say that somebody walked over and handed $1 million in a bag to the mom and you know, she just walked and deposited it somewhere, and we broke all of these laws, now let's have a conversation. But that's not what we're saying. Like, even if Saban comes out and says, well, A&M bought every one of their recruits, the reason that ticked off Jimbo is because it implies that A&M did something wrong, that they broke state law. All right, that to the very point that Mad Dog was just making, Texas has specific laws on what you're allowed to do. The implication he felt that Saban was making was that they broke those laws. There's absolutely no indication that any law was broken. What we know is that A&M is paying more for these kids to do the same thing that other schools are paying. But guess what? Like, hosting a radio show in L.A. pays more than hosting a radio show in Nashville, Tennessee. The markets are different, and the way they decide that they're going to pay their structure is different. Hosting a radio show for ESPN nationally pays more than hosting a radio show in Paducah, Kentucky does. So if they want to pay more for a radio appearance at A&M, it's within their right. And if you don't like it, well, to me, that's just a school going out, looking at it, saying, well, here's the way that collectives are looking at it. I shouldn't say the school. That's collectives looking at it and saying, what are the rules? You got a bunch of attorneys in these collectives that are all sitting down and saying, what are the rules and how do we make sure that we're within the rules, but we also benefit our school to the best possible way? And in the process, the real winner is the kid. Why do I care about that? Like, if a kid's going out there and getting a ton of money to sit on radio for 5 minutes, good for him. If a kid's getting way too much money to make an autograph appearance, cool. When else in the world have we ever turned around and said, oh, I don't want that kid to make money. I don't want him. You want to pay that kid how much to sign autographs? Hell no. But again, as I say every single day on this show, did we ever say that about Bieber? Have you looked at the prices of tickets to concerts for kids? Concerts for acts that are 17, 18, 19 years old. Man, we don't ever come in and say, how much you charging for a meet and greet? I'm not doing that. No. We look at it and say, well, that's the going rate. Good for them. Go out there and get yours. Nobody ever looked at Taylor Swift and said, wait, she's a kid. She can't charge that much. No, you might look at Taylor Swift and say you didn't like her music, but you weren't turning around saying that she couldn't charge fair market value for her tickets. So, why? If they're within the scope of what's legal in the state, I understand why Jimbo was ticked. I would have been too. 855-242-7285. We'll take more of your calls. You're fired up about it. We'll keep talking to you next. The Paul Feinbaum Show. Jason Fitz filling in for Paul.
With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One, N.A., member FDIC.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Keep thinking about your neighbor's house. Right. If you look over at your neighbor's house and you find out they've got a contractor in there redoing their kitchen, and you look over and then you find out that they overpaid that contractor, like, you can look at it and you can laugh at it. You know, you can look at it and be like, oh, man, I don't understand their logic at all. But do you look at it and scream? I don't know, because I feel like that's what's happening in the SEC. Everybody's worried about what their neighbors are doing in their house. And at some point, I got to look at it and say, as long as everybody's doing it in a legal way, whose business is it? That's just my take on it. It's the Paul Feinbaum Show. Jason Fitz filling in. 855-242-7285 is how you get in on the fun. AC in New Jersey. AC, thanks for calling the show. What you got?
Thank you so much for taking my call. How you guys doing? Good afternoon.
I'm doing great. You doing okay?
I'm doing fantastic, my brother. Well, let me tell you something. When Mr. Paul Feinbaum retires, you should take over, man. I'm dead serious, because you have what it takes. But I'm going to tell you something. Because while the topic is athlete and mental health, I believe that's the way how I feel. I don't know how you're going to take it. But after every season, everybody should have their mental health screening done. Think about it. It's stressful. It causes anxiety. I mean, think about it, Jason. You and I, we have family. Of course, family life. You got to balance family life, work life. So I believe the coaches, players, et cetera, they should have mental health screening done. Some of the people out there, man, they're quiet. They're not talking about it. They feel embarrassed. You should not be embarrassed. You should seek help. We're in the United States of America, third world country, Jason, where I am from. We don't have that kind of service. So whatever opportunity is there, in my opinion, take full advantage. Because at the end of the day, if you could save one life, trust me, it's a God. God's going to bless you. But the thing is, you got to help yourself first in order to help others. Because, Jason, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to hang up. If I cannot help myself, then how am I supposed to help someone else? Thank you so much for taking my call, sir.
AC, thanks for the call, and I appreciate what you're saying. I think we got to understand that more and more coaches are aware of everything about their players, right? And they should be. This is part of what you asked for. I'll go back to what the expectation is. If any of us, let's put our parent hat on, and let's say that you have kids and you're sending them off to college and you're sending them off to play football. One of the things that you're truly hopeful for is not only that they'll be put in an environment where they can thrive as an athlete, but they'll be put in an environment where they're safe and where they're able to grow as men. We talk about that all the time, to grow as women, to grow as adults, right? And in that process of growth, as they continue to grow, I would want my coaching staff to be paying as much attention to every ounce of an athlete as possible. And we see it all the time, more and more. I've talked to pro athletes in the NFL and the NBA that talk about the mental aspect of the game constantly. I've got a buddy that was a Major League Baseball player for years, and he talked before mental health conversations were as public as they are now. He used to always tell me that it was weird. He'd get in a slump, and he'd go out, and he would stand in a home crowd, and everybody would just start booing him because he wasn't playing well, and that was really hard for him. It really took his career in a different direction. And the way he related it to me as we were sitting on the tour bus one day is he said, imagine if you walked out for a show and everybody there paid to see your band play, and just as you're about to play a solo, they start wildly booing you. And like, think about what that would do to your psyche. Now, I'm pretty thick-skinned. I don't know what it would feel like to have 40,000 people boo me right before I play a solo. Like, I think that might get to me, especially with the pride that I have in the work that I do. Like, there are times that, you know, you can look at that and say, okay, well, that's just what an athlete gets paid for. Cool. The college athletes are kids, right? I said it earlier. They're months removed from the biggest concern they have in life being a promposal. You know, and now they're in a world where if they decide to decommit from a school, if they just in the process of figuring out where they want to go to college, look at what Twitter does to so many of these athletes. Then ask yourself about their mental health. And who cares about it? Because you better be sure. Coaches better care about it. More and more, coaching staffs are adding people that can really help with that conversation. And athletes are demanding it just the way they demand trainers for their body. Trainers for your mind is important. It's going to make for a better student experience. It's also going to make for a better student athlete. It's just part of the process. Zoo in Alabama, thanks for calling the Feinbaum Show. Jason Fitz filling in. Zoo, what you got?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I got you, bro.
I got you. All right. I just had a couple of points I think I wanted to make. First, I understand the kids need money. But the thing that I worry about is what happens when they don't perform? Do they give us some of our money back? And then yesterday you had a guy called and made a point about some of the transgender athletes. I think we've got to take a stand on something, or we're going to fall for anything. So myself as a Christian, I have love for everybody. And by saying that we all don't sin and make mistakes, but I raised a young daughter who enjoys sports, and I want to see a fair competition for all the girls out there. And that's all I've got. I appreciate you taking my call.
Zoo, I appreciate you calling in. And I said yesterday, I'll reiterate here, that's a very complicated conversation to have, one that I think takes layers, takes a lot of expertise. It's one that I'm still trying to figure out. I am still trying to read as much as possible or know exactly everything, because you speak to advantage, but there are several published reports that will speak to a lack of advantage, and also understanding what the athletes in those situations have to do before they're even eligible to compete. The NCAA has very specific guidelines, for example, on what's being required of every single swimmer, as that is a large portion of the conversation, that is a trans athlete. So that process, by the means of the reports that they're talking about, take away some of that very advantage. This is a really nuanced, complicated conversation. And I'm not going to pretend to have all the answers, but I think what you said at the beginning of it is an important part of it. Now, you know, I had somebody tweet me yesterday that implied that they figured out what my political affiliation is simply by what I said on this. And I would challenge anybody that you think you've got it figured out, you're smarter than most of my friends, because I am all over the place on a lot of these different maps. I'll tell you one core difference, and I'm not speaking about me, I'm speaking about life in general. One core difference that you said at the very beginning, because you said in your comment, which I respect the hell out of, you said, I'm a Christian and I respect that. I grew up around people of faith. I have many people in my life that are people of faith. I don't speak to that on my side one way or the other. I will tell you this. The very concept of whether or not a trans athlete is or isn't a male or a female is one of the great divides on this. And that's why it's a complicated conversation, because for a lot of you, you're saying God made you this way. And for another group of people, they're saying, yeah, but I relate to this. And that without that common ground in the middle, you are asking for a wildly different, difficult conversation to be slimmed down to one narrow path. That's all I'll say on that. Again, this is a very complicated conversation. And the reason I'm not avoiding anything in a conversation, if we want to sit here and spend a half an hour of the Paul Feinbaum show with a bunch of experts coming on talking about both sides of it so that everybody can make educated opinions, I'd be all about that. But we all know that's not what you guys want, and that's not as much fun for the show. It's much easier for all of us to sit back and talk about the students and the student athletes and every portion of it along the way. 855-242-7285. It's Paul Feinbaum show. We'll let you guys keep chiming in as we keep going. Jason Fitz in for Paul.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz, filling in for Paul. I'll never avoid difficult conversations to the previous caller. I won't do it. But I also won't sit in front of a microphone and pretend to have all the answers on everything. And, you know, one of the things that to me is staggering is that when I started in this business, everybody said, okay, what are you an expert in? What have you watched so much of that you constantly have thoughts on? You know, what can you form opinion on constantly? And it took me a long time. I was so scared the first time I did a college football show 6 years ago on ESPN. I was so scared to death that I had two phones and a laptop and a computer and an iPad all at my desk the whole time because I was scared to death that my buddy Mike Golick Jr. was going to name somebody I'd never heard of on a college football team that I didn't know enough about. Like, I was so worried. And it took years of me covering the sport to feel comfortable covering the sport, right? Like, that's just part of what happens. In the NFL, I've spent my whole life watching the NFL, having opinions on the NFL. I grew a podcast out of nothing based on the NFL. I grew my business based on the National Football League. And I still, every year, spent hours and hours and hours watching, reading, listening, consuming, trying to be the best expert I can so that my opinions, right or wrong, are at least informed. Everything I say about name, image, likeness at some level is because of the experience I've had in life combined with the experience I have around the sports that I cover. That's why I won't shy away from difficult conversations. But for me to sit here in front of a microphone and pretend that I understand what it's like to be a trans athlete, I'll never do it. For me to sit in front of an athlete in the microphone and understand what it's like to see both sides of this issue from a faith-based side and from a trans side, I won't pretend to understand it. And the reason that I am cautious to get into it to any deep level on a show like this is because I think it requires so much depth of understanding to have a real, honest conversation. Not a yelling at people, but a real and honest conversation where everybody's learning in the process to figure out exactly what you think. Man, I think that that takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of effort. And I won't sit in front of a microphone and talk about it, not because I'm avoiding anything, but because I think the only real way to do that is to do it more informed than I currently am. And until I get that level of information where I feel like I can counter every conversation on it and I can come in and tell you exactly how I feel through every possible angle and why, I think it does a disservice to everybody on difficult conversations to just come in and have, you know what, the conversation about something that important. What I know is that everybody wants to feel represented. And whether that's somebody is a trans athlete or whether that's somebody with Christian values that doesn't support those things, everybody wants to feel represented. And I'm here through this whole process to try to be a voice of reason on what I feel I can be an expert on for this show. It's the Paul Feinbaum Show. I'm Jason Fitz sitting in. 855-242-7285 is how you get in on the conversation. Let's get back to some fun with some college football. JK in Alabama. I just love it. It's JK and AL. JK, what you got? Thanks for calling the show.
What's up, bud?
Just living that dream. You good?
Hey, man, I can't complain about absolutely nothing. Before I start, man, let me give a My heartfelt condolences, man, to all those families out in Texas, man. Senseless. And it's about far late to do something about it. Now, let me get on this football thing. They call a mad dog that called in. I think he's still mad at the real dogs from January. Absolutely, Nick Saban said that Jimbo paid for every player that he has. He didn't say anything about a recruit. All you have to do is run the tape back, Mad Dog, if you want to know what Nick really said. But it's like I've been saying for the last 4 or 5 months, Nick Saban is terrified of not getting the best players because he's used to playing and beating people with the advantage. He's not going to have that advantage anymore as long as teams and these boosters are paying these players to come to their schools. Nick Saban is just a dude that wore the salmon-colored jacket to the party. He got there late, and the best girls were already taken. And, hey, he just had to deal with it and find some boosters that's going to spend some money and get the best players because from here on out, he's not going to have the best recruiting class and the number one recruiting class, the best player year after year like he has since he's been at Bama. So he might as well just get over and stop all that whining and crying and complaining. It's just as simple as that.
JK, you're just bringing the heat right there. I'm not going to disagree with anything. Thanks for the call, man. I pulled up the quote after we had Mad Dog earlier. I pulled up the quote, and the quote is, you read about it. You know who they are. We were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team. So I think what's happened here is that, you know, the quote is being remembered because it was in reference to recruiting. But it is A&M bought every player on their team. But again, even if they did, even if they went out and boosters, the collective, not the school, because that would be against the law. But if the school went out, or the collective, I should say, went out and they went out and paid every single recruit that's come in the door. If the collective went out and found opportunities, no matter how bloated they are, to turn around and pay every single player on that team, which, by the way, is part of what Miami did immediately with name, image, likeness. They immediately found a couple sponsors that were willing to collectively sponsor the entire team to give everybody a little bit of cash every single month. Even if that's what happened, who cares? Didn't break any rules. If the school didn't write the checks, they didn't break any laws. So if I'm Jimbo and I'm looking around saying, well, Nick, what are you mad about? Are you mad that we took advantage of the same rules? Because my God, at some point, I'd be mad if I was accused of doing things the wrong way also by somebody that at some point I had a fractured relationship with. Both men threw shade at each other. And I don't think we can couch it any other way. Kyle in North Carolina. Kyle, thanks for calling the Paul Feinbaum Show. What you got?
Hey, man, good to be on. Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Hey, I wanted to respond to something you were going through at the top of the show, the disparity between the student-athlete who is making money to be in school and the student who's sitting there going into debt. I think it's an interesting point. I think the more glaring version of that is the student-athlete that's on scholarship and making money to go to school, sharing a locker room with a walk-on, who's running in the same practices, doing the same drills, who is accruing debt to go to that school. I think a more interesting take for NIL would be that if a scholarship athlete signs an NIL deal that is greater than the value of their scholarship, they forfeit their scholarship and that scholarship becomes available to a player who doesn't have one. Tell me what you think.
Look, Kyle, thanks for the call. I don't think that's a bad idea at all, frankly. I think I can see where you're coming from on it. I'll say this. I always try and learn from the guys around me. I was sitting in the green room at one of the ESPN campuses several years ago, and I had, I think it was Greg McElroy, Marcus Spears, Mike Olick Jr., all sitting around me at the same time. And we were talking, and this is obviously years ago, right? So we were talking about the concept of what happens if certain athletes start to get paid, right? And I was taking Kyle's same point, that I think it could create a line in the locker room. And I was stunned when every single former player that I mentioned it to laughed at me. They're like, dude, you don't think lines already exist? As Mike pointed out almost immediately, he's like, you don't think that offensive linemen that are barely on the roster were treated different than the quarterback? And you don't think that we weren't all treated different than some of the stars on his national championship team? Because they absolutely were. Players actually have a better understanding of the structure and where they fall in a locker room than fans ever do. And that's one thing that has blown my mind. It has never changed. Every single time I ask athletes about it, they laugh at the concept that fans have that athletes believe that they're all on equal footing. You know, it's been pointed out to me several times by guys that played at the highest level in college. You know from the day you walk in where you stand. And sometimes when you find out that it's not what you thought, sure, it creates a great divide. But in a locker room, you have a pretty good idea, even in high school, who the stars are, who the stars aren't. You have a pretty good idea in college, who the big guns are and who the little ones are. And through that all, they have a better understanding of how to navigate those waters than any of us do as fans. Sometimes I think, and I'm guilty of it too, sometimes I think across the board, we don't give athletes enough credit for understanding the exact situation they're in, for understanding how to read the room, for understanding who's getting treated which way, why, and how. Athletes have a much better understanding of the locker room environment at the highest level than most of us as fans ever give them credit for. And until we change that part of our mentality, we'll always think that way. Kyle, I don't blame the thought process on it because I've done the same thing so many times. But every time I've talked to a former athlete at the highest level on it, they've all corrected me and said, nope, this is not an issue. So as much as I think there is sense to saying, hey, you're making so much money, give your scholarship back, my God. At the same time, I also look at it and say, hey, everybody knows their gig. We used to always say that in the music business. Like the minute you take the gig, you know the gig. So once you know your gig, you got to do it the best you can. And it seems like college players have a better understanding of that than I give them credit for, than many of us give them credit for. 855-242-7285. You guys want to keep chiming in? We'll keep letting you chime in. Plus, one other thought that I think we all need to give more weight to coming up on the Paul Feinbaum Show. I'm Jason Fitz, filling in for Paul.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Paul Feinbaum Show. Jason Fitz filling in for Paul. Hanging out with you. You guys can hang out with me. 855-242-7285. That's how you get in on the phone. Obviously, name, image, likeness has been a big part of the conversation. Tomorrow, we'll switch it up a little bit. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Going to do some fun things to get everybody ready for Memorial Day weekend and also get into some of the college football scheduling battles that are out there and what it looks like early on in the season. But in the meantime, let's go to Mikey in Alabama. Mikey, thanks for calling the show. What you got?
Yeah, I just want to talk about the name, image, and likeness. I'm an Alabama fan, and, you know, I really enjoyed the winning tradition that we're carrying on, but I do think it's still an even playing field now, you know. I think it's just like when you play in a game and you get ready for the game and then all of a sudden it starts raining. Well, all the teams are on an even playing field now, and name, image, and likeness, and, you know, the paying the players, all this is just making it better. And I think that everybody is going to kind of shake out to where, you know, the best recruiters are going to still get the good players. I mean, I don't think it's going to change the game at all.
That's interesting, Mikey, and I appreciate the call. You know, the concept that the game's not going to change at all, it, you know, smacks in the face of, I think, what a lot of people are worried about. And, you know, I think when you start talking about even Lane Kiffin in his interview with Sports Illustrated earlier this week, you know, stressing the fact that he thinks that players are going to go to wherever they can get the most money. I don't know. I don't think we're going to know for a minute, and it depends on what drives every single player. Like, that's the other part of this conversation that we have to acknowledge, is that some players are going to be out for the money. Some players are going to be out for the opportunity to, you know, try and play on Sundays. It's all sort of up in the air on what players are going to want and when they're going to want it. So I don't think there's an easy answer. But to Mikey's point, you know, at some point it's also about just winning, right? Like, if you believe that Saban will conquer any world, it becomes much easier. That's the part of this that I think we have to acknowledge, is that things get easier when you start to look at it and say, hey, we can thrive in any market. And that's, you know, at some point what part of this conversation is done. I mean, when you start thinking about how every single fan looks at this, when you start thinking about the way that fans are going to approach this, it's different when you know that you can beat anybody at any time for any reason. That's sort of the glory that a lot of Alabama fans come into this conversation with, and rightfully so, given the way that they've performed over the course of a long time. But I'll go back to something that I was tweeted about earlier when Hamilton asked me, why not let high school football players go straight to the NFL or a minor league system? Then the rest of us who like watching student athletes representing their part of the country or hometowns could enjoy that aspect. It just makes me wonder why you won't enjoy it if the kid playing is getting paid. Braden Gall earlier with us today said in his closing thought to everything, I asked him about the future of college sports. And he said, you know what? Not worried about it at all. Why? Because at the end of the day, none of it will change your Saturday experience. If you're an Alabama fan, if you're a Georgia fan, if you're an A&M fan, for all of the arguing about everybody else, for all of the time spent worried about how everybody else is building their roster, there's one truth. You win a national championship, you won't give a damn about anybody else. You win it all. You're not going to care about what anybody else did during recruiting. Now, I think we're all partially responsible for what's been created in the news cycle. We live in a 24/7, 365 college football world. Recruiting has become its own thing, right? Like Tom Luganbill is great at covering so much recruiting. And you think about the way we obsess constantly over how our teams are being built and what our programs are doing for the future. College football was already a way of life. Now it's become a year-round way of life. And right now, because everything's different, you get nervous. I don't know if you've ever been on vacation to like the same spot numerous times, but if you've ever gone, like, let's say to Disney, you go every year to Disney World. You take family to Disney World every few years. Well, Disney World's made a bunch of changes in the last couple of years. That makes you nervous when you're going in because now you don't know what to expect. Let's say you've ever gone to stay at the same hotel. You always love taking the family to the same hotel somewhere. Well, then you pull in and you realize that the hotel was sold one day. And all of a sudden now, I don't know what to expect. And I understand why that makes all of us nervous, especially on something you're as passionate about as the college football teams that you love. But realistically, that will normalize. That's the one thing. Name, image, likeness will never go back into the tube, in my opinion. It's done. And now that you can accept, okay, this is the new reality, it becomes about one thing and one thing only. How do you thrive in that new reality? The adjustment here isn't college football needing to adjust the way they're doing business. The adjustment is that college football fans and college football media need to adjust to what we expect. That's more realistic. More realistic than any sort of a change in the lexicon of the way college football does business is that all of us are going to adapt to this, get used to it, and it won't be a big deal. How different does college football look today than it did 10 years ago? How different does it look 15 years ago, 20 years ago? It hit me when I was traveling with Game Day and I went to Nebraska. And I remember being a kid and growing up as a little kid on the West Coast. And there was such a limitation to the number of games you could see, right? So the reason so many people, I think, became Nebraska fans or USC fans or Miami fans in the heydays of the 80s and 90s, these Oklahoma teams, was because they were the only ones on TV and they were force-fed to the entire nation. Now, over time, what happened is we got to a world where, much like today, we get the announcement of the SEC Network schedule for college football games, the ESPN Plus giving you the opportunity to watch so many teams. You can watch your favorite college football program anywhere in the world. I watched the Iron Bowl a few years ago on a tour bus in Germany, right? Like, you can watch college football anywhere in the world. So, the schools have figured out how to adapt in a universal world. The schools that figured out where to pour their resources so that they could be more global in their recruiting, those schools were able to thrive. Schools that may have been buried in the past. There was a time where just being Notre Dame was going to be good enough because Notre Dame had their own TV package, right? Now, Notre Dame has to constantly compete. Now, we can look back. We can sort of rewind the clock and go back on the calendar and look back 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and talk about what college football used to be. But who cares when you're talking about how to compete today to what challenges they faced 20 years ago and how they're different? Every single program has one obligation right now. That's to look around all of this and say, hey, guys, we're figuring it out. You're figuring it out. We're all going to figure it out together. But in the process of figuring it out together, we will figure it out. If there's one thing I believe, it's that the best of the best in the SEC will figure out how to continue to be the best of the best. And that's where we should be focusing our attention. Our attention tomorrow is going to be on Memorial Day weekend, having a great time. I genuinely appreciate every single one of you that takes the time to call, every single one of you that supports or hates. Either way, all the listens count. I love hanging out with you. Thanks for letting me fill in for Paul. I'm Jason Fitz.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.